my late wife said that if I ran a marathon, never mind more than one marathon, 3.5 months after a massive heart attack and double bypass, and I was in a coma for 3 days, and they tried to start it ticking 13 times before it actually did start ticking again. And so she said that one shouldn't do marathons, you know, for a year or so. So I agreed entirely and rang up Mike Stroud. But, and he agreed, and he's a doctor, but the sponsor, Land Rover, had already paid big amounts of money to people like, for instance, the South American Marathon was, I think, in Santiago, and they'd already paid a huge amount to the police down there to stop the traffic on the specific day, because everything was obviously closely timed with the jumbo flights in between the continents. And unfortunately, therefore, we either forwent the sponsorship or tried to get ready in time. So we did just manage to get physically fit enough to do it, but only just.
And you're not put off by the fear of failure. I mean, it took 3 attempts for you to get up Everest. What, again, is that driving force, that motivation that makes you go back every time?
Well, in the case of the Everest one, there were several reasons for trying again. One was there was a world record outstanding, and there were 3 claimants. There was a Brit, myself, there was a Norwegian, Borgi Auslund, and a French-Belgian, Alain Hubert, all of whom were in a position to claim first to cross both ice caps via the poles and climb the highest mountain. None of the 3 of us liked climbing, but we wanted the record, so, you know, kept having a go at it. My last chance would have been probably 2009, and as you say, I had failed twice previously. Also, in failing the previous time, we hadn't raised the full £6 million that we needed for Marie Curie Cancer Care for the nursing project, and this was also a good last chance of raising the balance for that.
It must have been an absolute dream when you were walking along that final ridge to the summit of Everest.
Well, I'm afraid it was so much like a dream that I had a sort of mental blockout and can't really remember the period from the buttress place, which I had reached previously and turned back from. From that point up past what they call the Hillary Step and so on, I can't remember it at all. All I can remember is the very last bit to the very top, realizing that we had not got there as planned at midday when our BBC camera would work, but for some reason had done it amazingly quickly and got there before dawn, and the camera wouldn't work because there wasn't enough light. So we had a problem, because you shouldn't linger too long on the top, and we had to linger a long time to wait for the sun to come up and the light to be correct.
You're famously scared of heights, and I've seen Ian's footage of you on the Eiger when you are absolutely terrified. How do you deal with that at that sort of height and that sort of exposure?
Very badly, and that's why I've stopped any climbing. I've gone back to horizontal expeditions. But the guy that taught me to try to learn how to climb, Kenton Cool and Ian Parnell, and they're both really excellent. They're both very different in their methods of treating their pupils. One is like a sort of kind uncle, and the other is like a fierce sergeant major. So there's 2 different methods of controlling vertiginous would-be climbers. And they tried both, and neither of them worked. No offence to them. They're both superb guides and climbers. But I just couldn't get on top of this, I suppose you could call it a phobia.
And so you say you're back on flat land. What's next for you? What's the next expedition?
Well, we are planning a very big one, and we are very keen indeed, because it's not been done previously. And it's very difficult, which is why it hasn't been done. And we're very keen to be first to do it rather than our traditional, I won't say enemies, but rivals. And we don't want them to get wind of it, so we're not actually mentioning it until we're ready to go.